Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to another edition of Inside Athletics. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you as well, as you are getting ready, hopefully, for some good time with family and friends on a very joyous season. It's always good for us to be reminded of the true reason we can enjoy life the way we do and relationships with other people is through the birth of Jesus Christ, and that becomes a very important thing for all of us to remember. And it certainly puts into perspective all the different activities that we get involved in, and athletics is one of them. Clearly, over the last week, the horrific shootings in Connecticut, other acts of violence that I've read about in the Lancaster County area here in the Harrisonburg area as well. It's just devastating to think about what is going on in our world, and it almost makes me guilty sometimes of sitting here and talking about sports when there's so many other things that are going on in the world. But athletics is an important part of the life of student athletes, and hopefully it is one of those avenues through which young people can learn more about themselves and actually gain some really valuable lessons for life. There are some studies out there that would show that students who are involved in school activities are far less likely to get into trouble, are far more likely to do well in school, etc. So I'll swing to that side today and say that while there is so much violence in the world, and people will take a lot of different positions on the gun control issues and how to help the mentally ill and things like that, we're going to focus a little bit today while our hearts go out to those people that are in the midst of that kind of violence during this particular time of the year in particular. I hope we do have the opportunity to take some time during this Christmas season to rest and relax, and perhaps to listen to the Holy Spirit and what he would have for us, and to be mindful of those who are certainly suffering during this time. So we will shift our gears to some of the athletics that have been going on here at EMU. Most of it has been centered around men's basketball. As I think was mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Coach Kirby Dean was very interested this year in getting all the non-conference games out of the way. So we just finished up four games in six days, I believe it is. James DeBoer is here with us before he heads out to Minnesota for some family time. And James, why don't you give us a little rundown? We had two games in the Don Glick Classic at Bridgewater on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Came back on a Monday with a travel down to Christopher Newport, and finished up on Wednesday at home against Mary Washington. And now all of the non-conference is out of the way. We'll take a break and we'll head on into conference play starting up in January. So give us whatever kind of quick rundown you want on those four games in 6 days.
Sure. A very busy stretch. And, a few of the things that we saw there. It started out with a really tough loss to Wesley in overtime on Friday. And I thought it was impressive how the guys came out strong the next day and just played solid. They played their game and went out and played and said, you know what, yesterday was yesterday. Let's go out and play today. And I got a big win over Maryland Bible College. So they ended up the Don Glick Classic 1-1. Pretty impressive set for the guys. Would have loved to have gotten two wins, but you know they'll take what they got. And Ryan Yates and Andrew Thorne both named to the All-Classic team there. I think Ryan had his career high. Against Maryland Bible? Yeah, against Maryland Bible, he had 21 points for his career high. And so it's been fun to see some of those trends. I mean, Andrew has been very consistent this year. I think maybe twice he has not scored in double figures, but he's always involved in the game, whether it's rebounding or scoring or even assisting. He does an awful lot. And an interesting thing with our men's basketball team, and we see it on the women's side as well, is the teams are so balanced. And Kirby talks about, you know, it could be anybody. We have, you know, 5 to 8 guys who can just light it up and score 20, 25 points in some night. So when it comes to the end of the season, all ODAC teams, the EMU players sometimes don't look as special as some of the other ones because they're on such a balanced team. And, I mean, Andrew is clearly one of the best players in the league, I think. Now, last night, earlier this week when we played Mary Washington and had that win, he had a pretty quiet game. Well, that's just the way the game went, and he still had his 8 rebounds and did those sorts of things. But, you know, his numbers aren't always going to be splashy because we don't rely on Andrew to carry us every single game. So it's interesting, and it's a lot of fun that anybody can lead us. It kind of hurts us down the road in the all ODAC teams. But, again, awards are great, But what we really want is the wins. I guess that makes it really shallow, doesn't it? but the goal of the season is to do well in tournament time and that sort of jazz, and not necessarily to get some awards.
Right.
So that's a really interesting thing. But it's been fun to see other players, such as Ryan Yates, who have really improved over their first year or the previous season. And Ryan has really stepped up and earned a starting role. And it's fun to watch some of those players. And Saturday, we got to see a ton of them because they emptied the bench, and everyone got to get out there and play. And it was a lot of fun over the last couple minutes of that game to see the bench.
Well, one of the things that also happens is, as anybody knows who follows EMU basketball, is you've got to be ready to be a pretty deep rotation when Kirby Dean's coaching, and you've got to be ready to jump off the bench, and you might sit for 30 seconds and back in again, and you might have to shift to another position. David Falk's been out for a little while, so they've had some different people playing in the center position behind Owen. And yeah, if you're not ready to play that, and not only is it just the minutes, but like you said, you never know who's going to get hot. Now, if you read the article in the newspaper recently in the DNR, you'll find out that if we don't start shooting a higher percentage, none of us may be. We may not be in a conference conversation or any awards, anything. Yeah. And I wish I would have had an opportunity to talk to either Coach Dean or one of the assistant coaches, because the article has appeared in the local paper here, which I'm sure will be attached somewhere on our web pages, I would imagine, somewhere along the line. We rank really, really, really low in the nation in terms of shooting percentage. From specific areas. All right, give me a little more background to that then. What's this going on about the shooting percentage?
Sure. So the article is very true. From three-point range and from the free throw line, we are, you know, one of the worst statistical teams in the nation. From two-point range, we're shooting well over 50%, and that's very interesting to me. And the bottom line is we're still 8-4, which is very nice. And as the article pointed out too, Kirby had said, hey, you know, we're doing pretty well, and if we just start hitting some shots, get some free throws to go, get some three-pointers to go, we got a chance to make a pretty big run. And I think if you look at a team that's 8-4, you would not expect them to be one of the worst shooting teams from the free throw line and from three-point range in the country. So that's an interesting thing. We're just seeing how the team works. And sometimes they get in transition, which turns into a lot of two-point attempts, obviously, going into the lane. But especially against Mary Washington, the Eagles went into a zone for most of the game, partially because they knew of EMU's shooting woes. And the guys didn't hit three-pointers, but hit all their jumpers from inside the three-point arc. And so they were hitting their open shots. They were just two-point shots.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that people have looked at a lot. And I know that Kirby's well aware of the fact that he's going to see a lot more zone, I would imagine, which, again, does two things theoretically. One is makes you hit it from the outside in order to beat them. Or number two, it slows down your offense.
Yeah.
And you can't get out and run. But one of the things that I was glad to see was at the Christopher Newport, while they shot woeful, 27% from anywhere, and 19 from the foul line, I think, was probably one of their best defensive efforts to keep a team like CNU, rated 20th in the country at the time, to 66 points is pretty good. Now, they only scored 40-some, which is well below their average of 79, which I think it is right now. So it would be interesting to figure out, you know, naturally people say, well, have they worked on enough? I think everybody realizes, but sometimes they have to be told, nobody's trying to miss the shots. Okay? You're not purposefully doing that. It is such a repetitive motion that has to become consistent and has to become you don't think about it. And part of the problem now is now you are thinking about it, as mentioned, and what they're going to do about it. I checked with the coaching staff, and they said they feel like the guys have been in there working hard at it. It's not something that they've neglected. Practices are filled with that time. There's a plenty of guys staying afterwards. So I think that's the other reason why people are really hopeful, or at least recognizing the fact that at any time this could turn around. We saw a little bit more of it last night. At least we shot above 50% against Mary Washington from the foul line, which is better. That's the one that is really clearly a thought process, I'm sure, that doesn't get there. So,
One thing that is very interesting to me, I mean, Kirby mentioned in the article, he said, hey, if you know, if at some point we can start hitting our shots, and we will, he said, and we got a chance to make a run. You look back a couple of years when we made our run to the Elite Eight. I still remember during the season, I think we played Bridgewater, and they asked one of the Bridgewater players, said, hey, what's the difference that you see between EMU from this year and last year? Again, this was a couple of years ago. He said one word, confidence. So it's not like they were running different things on the floor or whatever. They just had confidence. And I think you'll start to see that with shooting. If somebody gets hot, just like cold shooting can spread to each other, if somebody gets hot, mm-hmm. that can spread as well. And if suddenly that confidence clicks and we start hitting three-point shots, this team is going to really change. And 8-4 is pretty good. If you can really change from 8-4, sky's the limit, I think.
Well, the win against Mary Washington, while we held on, mm-hmm. Again, that's where a confidence factor would have really been. And they did miss some shots towards the end, including some foul shots. Mm-hmm. And naturally, they went into a fouling mode mm-hmm. to try to get us to the line. And you're right, the confidence factor comes. So we'll see what the break entails for us. All the guys left, and we'll return on around the 27th or 28th, and then mm-hmm. we'll hit it back again. Any comments on the women's team? They had one game over the weekend and then have taken the break, and they'll be back after Christmas as well.
Well, sure. We talk about confidence and shooting, and that actually has a lot to do with the women on Saturday as well. They played up at Delaware Valley, had a big lead in the first half. I think they led by 15 at halftime. And Coach Kevin Griffin said to me, he said, you know what, we probably should have led by more than 15 at halftime. We just played that well. Well, the second half, nothing fell, mm-hmm. absolutely nothing. I think the women shot 22% in the second half. And it's very interesting. Anybody who's a traditional outside shooter for the Royals was not hitting shots. Mm-hmm. And Kevin said, they started missing, and you could tell the girls getting tighter. And he said, Delaware Valley just slowly backed away from our players when it was time to shoot. He said by late in the game, they were just standing in the lane, packing the lane. And so they're packing the lane and everyone's shooting three-pointers is scared. So that's one of those snowball things. And the women come up with a loss by a couple of points after a really disappointing second half. And there's a team that's been great shooting from outside. Stephanie Reinheimer, one of the top three-point shooters in the conference, she struggled from three-point range in the game. And so it's not like we've been bad all year. It's just sometimes you have a game like that, mm-hmm. and you just keep practicing and go back out there the next game. So the women end the first half. That was the end of their first half as well. They're 4-4. It's so interesting that ties our losses for last year, 22-4 last season. So we already have 4 losses. And I've said it before, but we're just as good as last year. We've most of the same players. We're still trying to find our stride again. But we've just had a really tough schedule here to start things out. A number of teams that are either ranked or went to the NCAA tournament last year. And then the loss to Delaware Valley, well, that was just one of those crazy fluke things, I think, that happens. But really pretty solid to finish 4-4 with such a tough schedule. And they'll jump back into things in the second half with a couple of non-conference games.
Well, one of the things that also comes into play when you're not shooting really well is how are you responding in the other areas of the game.
Yeah.
And I know in the men's case against Christopher Newport, played excellent defense. You talked about the men coming out after Friday's game on Saturday then to really play well. And Friday's game was also very difficult in terms of the way we lost, et cetera. Mm-hmm. A lot of people questioning the whole officiating piece. And I've sort of declared from day one when I was an athletic administrator that I'm not going to get involved in talking about it. Officiating, because most of them are all judgment calls. But I will have to say on this particular game, as I reviewed it again, there were calls that were wrong, not judgment calls, but simply not either knowing the rules or not adhering the rule to that particular situation. And probably for the first time in my career ever, I would say that it's very likely that the officiating cost us a game. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
And not based upon one particular call at the end or anything like mm-hmm. that, because certainly we had our chances too.
Mm-hmm.
But that could have been very, very discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it wasn't about the judgment calls of the officials as much as the application of the rules mm-hmm. to the situations. And those are the kind that I think can be corrected. And I will say this about the officiating in the basketball side, they do a very good job of reviewing the game films.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the assigner gets to watch all of the games, and the officials also are asked to go back in and watch games, and he can monitor whether they have or not
mm-hmm.
by the way they log in. So I think they do a pretty good job of looking at it. They usually give us the statistics that after they've reviewed all of the games that were played and officiated by our officiating, they get the calls correct 80% of the time, is what they typically say to us. And my hunch would be when they look at this one, there's going to be some things that would say, yeah, it was not all that good.
Yeah.
But the point would be the resiliency of the guys to come right back again and play, the resiliency to come back. And it's unfortunate that the women don't have a game until a while. They go on to break with that kind of mental, sort of what happened here, what's going on, and then all of that. So we'll see how they adjust. They're ready to take a break. As I've mentioned before, they'll come back on the 27th or 28th. And I think the women open up on the 2nd.
They open the 29th, actually.
Oh, the 29th. You're right. I'm sorry. They're on 29th up at Cairn, which is formerly Philadelphia Biblical University. So any of you from Pennsylvania want to run down there and catch a game? What time is that game?
Or 3 o'clock, I'm
3 o'clock on the
29th. Saturday the 29th
at 3 o'clock at Cairn University, which is formerly Philadelphia Biblical University. If you're in that area, fine. And then we'll pick it up, and there'll be a few more games here before all the students come back. Mm-hmm. So if you're in this area, in the Harrisonburg area, please make sure you come out to some of those games at the end of the first week of January, and we'll be set to go at that point. So we'll see how they respond after getting a break. I think it's a well-deserved break, and I think you're absolutely right. The schedules were extremely difficult on both sides, the men and women. And we're turning the corner on the spring. You want to make just a comment about baseball and softball ready to roll?
I know. It's so crazy to think about those two, but we have finally released the baseball and softball schedules onto the website. So head over to emuroyals.com. You can see a little article about them, or certainly catch the schedules on the team's home pages. But baseball opens up February 2, pretty early. Coach said, this is Ben Spott's first year, he said, maybe next year I'll start on February 9. But February 2, they head down to North Carolina and take on North Carolina Wesleyan, I believe. And it's pretty traditional, I think, for the baseball team is the first week or two. They're usually playing road games down in North Carolina somewhere. But so they'll open February 2. Softball opens on February 22, also in North Carolina, at a tournament hosted by Methodist, I believe, down in Fayetteville. So they'll start out there. And, of course, softball usually opens with a bunch of weekend tournaments. The first three weekends, they're playing tournaments somewhere or another. But not too far away. Exciting to see both those schedules and see some of the busy stretches. The softball team playing a ton of home games in March. Baseball is a little more spread out, but baseball also going to Florida. So any of you Florida folks, they'll be down in the Winter Haven area for the RusMat Central Florida tournament. Huge long title, but RusMat. They'll be down there in early March. I think it's March 5 through 8. Be playing games down in that area. Schedule not released specifically for those dates yet, but we know that's when they'll be down there.
Yeah, that schedule, according to Coach Spots, will be coming out here within the next week. They would have their actual game schedule. Looking forward to that as well. So, yeah, once everybody rolls back, men's volleyball, we'll get that schedule out pretty soon. There's still some glitches here in trying to get to one of the teams. Mount St. Joseph's from Cincinnati has disbanded their men's team, and that has a glitch in terms of the schedule that tournament they were supposed to host, so we're trying to reshuffle that deck. So you'll get that one pretty soon. We'll be ready to go. Indoor track will pick up, and I'm not looking forward to making the gym schedule out when we come to January. I can tell you that because there's going to be way too many things happening around there. But we do appreciate your support and following what's going on here. We hope that you enjoy this inside look to what's happening. Again, looking for some new features next semester. We're going to begin naming our own Athlete of the Week within EMU. The conference names that for every sport. We're going to name one for EMU. That will be a new feature coming out, and we'll do that. So that will start probably as soon as the students are back, probably to start a second semester. Look for that on the webpage. That will be a new feature, and we're certainly hopeful to honor more of our kids around there. We're also looking into some other ways in which we can recognize some of the off-the-field activities that the kids are involved in. Mm-hmm. Well, once again, thanks for joining us. I do truly hope, James and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and do hope that you can spend some time this season quietly reflecting upon your life and upon how you relate to other people and how the Holy Spirit can help you build those relationships in ways that we can all work together towards peace on the earth. And try to help each other through the struggles that we will face in the coming days. Thanks for joining us. And until we meet again, I will be back next week during the break. And I hope to have a special guest with me. So those of you that are on vacation, nothing else to do, tune in to the podcast. We'll post that again at the end of the week, probably whatever that is, the 28th, 29th. I don't know when it is, something like that. Anyway, somewhere at the end of next week, we'll keep giving you information on EMU Athletics. Until we talk again, I invite you to make it a great week.